cliffcentral.com.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Ben Karpinski. Gareth Cliff has a migraine. Unfortunately, I always hate saying it because firstly, we all miss Gareth, right? Gareth's the reason you listen to this show. He's amazing. But secondly, migraines are really, really crappy. They hurt so much. Dude who doesn't have a migraine is Sia Sangweni. Hello, Sia.
Yes, he does not. Good morning.
Okay, very good. Mabali, she's coming.
Yes.
She's coming. Yes, Lucas, I will turn it up. Give me a second. Morning, Lucas. Hello.
Good morning, Ben. Would you mind increasing your levels?
Yes, okay. Jeez, so impatient.
Lucas, it's I've just sat down. Sangweni again, fiddling with the thingy.
No, Sia's not touching the knobs. Just relax.
Okay, cool. But my volume just went down this side.
Okay,
Lucas. We're in a very professional establishment
here. Lucas, let's not make your problems everyone straight away, okay? Let's ease into it first.
I deeply apologize, guys.
So Gareth's got a migraine, unfortunately. It does plague him from time to time. Morning, Mubs. How you doing?
Yo.
Yes, good.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got basically a full bill of health otherwise. Health.
That's debatable.
How so? What's wrong with you?
I feel like I get older every single day.
Well, that's because you do.
I know. Well, granted, yes. Not older, just another day passes. But I get another creak in a weird place, another ailment elsewhere. I'm just welcoming my old age home years here.
Oh, wow. Sia, that's a little bit extreme.
You have to just accept this path, my buddy.
But this is also the season where your body really just breaks down. You know, it doesn't handle the environment as well.
Sorry, just had a strange thought there. My old age home. Sia, would you ever go to a home?
Yes.
Can you imagine Sia as an old person in a home?
I want to be that grumpy old man who just drinks all day and then just craps his pants because he's too lazy to get up.
It's a dream for some. And intern Amanda's still here. Hello, Amanda. How are you this morning?
Hello, Ben.
Solid. Okay, look, so basically we don't need Gareth. We've got a full team here. I've got young, enthusiastic, bright eyes. So great show ahead. But it was something that actually reminded me this morning. I'm probably just old, so therefore I remember this. But there was this really strange show on MTV years and years ago. And it reminds me of Gareth.
Okay.
This is very mean, but hey. It was this stupidly bizarre show in black and white with terrible animation called Migraine Boy. This kid, his entire life, he had a migraine.
And wasn't the show something like 3 minutes long?
Yeah.
It came in these short bursts.
Yeah, it's short bursts, terrible animation, and just like the strangest things. It was just the oddest show ever.
Hold on.
It's raining, Migraine Boy. Why not come snuggle with me under the umbrella?
I'd rather catch pneumonia and die! Huh.
Well, you caught pneumonia and died, Migraine Boy. Are you happy?
Yes.
Yes, yes. He always died.
He always dies.
In every episode, he died.
Now, for some of us who were born with color TV, can you explain who or what Migraine Boy is?
Hey,
it's like a
since when
cartoon
you been able to
series.
Talk? I can't believe my own dog has been lying to me all these years.
It's so funny because
such a fuss budget, Migraine Boy.
It's all black and white, but this guy looks so stressed, and his head is like trembling because he's got this all day migraine.
Yeah, so yeah, it was just a very bizarre concept. This thing would come on at random times, you
often
know.
Like really late. So you'd be watching MTV because you had like music in the background, or you'd like pass out on the couch.
Yeah.
And then it'd be Migraine Boy
for all of 45 seconds. And in every episode, he's angry. And in every episode, he dies.
Well, I'm glad you know about this too, Mubs, because I thought it was just me. I thought, how do I know this crazy shit all the time? It's just such so stupid. Wow, whatever. So today we've got an interview with Stoffel. Now, Lucas, you've got all the info about Stoffel. Stoffel's basically going to be a new, well, not team member, but a new part of the Cliff Central team. And Gareth's been really looking forward to this interview. Unfortunately, he's not going to be here to do it. So we're going to take on the opportunity of chatting to Stoffel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's like a hairdresser par excellence kind of guy.
I don't know what that par excellence means, but it just sounds fancy. Anything that has to do with some little fringe.
Yeah. See, I gotta be honest, I was totally stretching there. I was totally stretching. At least I didn't say something stupid in Latin. I'm pretty sure par excellence works in that sentence.
It does. It just
don't
sounds.
Don't forget opera singer.
Yes, of course. He's also an opera singer. Look, this guy does lots and lots. Okay, so third hour today. Stoffel the hairdresser, and it's just he's got a great story, and there's so much to him.
I actually think it's like an awesome opportunity because he also does Gareth's hair.
Of course. Oh my gosh. See? And now because he's not here, we can ask really embarrassing questions.
Yeah.
Bingo was
yeah,
his name.
Yeah. We can ask if Gareth walks in with, you know, and then shows him a Google image of some other celebrity to say, listen, Stoffel, this is what I'm feeling like today.
Justin Bieber haircut.
He also does like a few sports stars as well. So I wonder what people reveal in the chair.
I reckon a lot more than we think because it's that safe space, right? Because firstly, you've got sharp implements around your head, so you got to behave. Mm. You can't be too drastic. You got to be kind of polite. Secondly, you really need this person to craft their work, so you're not going to distract them too much. But then you feel like you can share with them because cutting someone's hair is a very personal thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like giving a massage is a personal thing. Anything that involves you physically applying a skill to someone's person.
Or if you breathe down my neck.
That too.
That's a sacred space, okay?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
No, it really is.
I sense this interview going south very quickly.
No, we aren't going down that road. But another thing about Stoffel's, and this he'll also reveal and we'll chat about during the interview, is that like he gives people champagne. So, you know, after like your appointment might be at like 2 and you've had a rough sort of day and here now there's some booze, of course you'll start drinking and the mouth starts opening and you say certain things. So, hey.
See, you've got a way with words. I've got to say, every morning I listen to you say things and nobody in the world can make descriptions like you.
Yeah.
What does that
started drinking.
I agree.
It's a compliment.
It's a compliment and a curiosity at the same time. So Stoffel's the kind of hairdresser that you get like champagne with. So, I mean, obviously he charges like a wounded buffalo.
He must. I mean, I know about wine at hair salons, but champagne?
Wine?
The bubbles? Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I need to bump up the notch of the hair salon I attend. Because actually, now that I think about it, like, I don't really speak to my barber much.
Okay.
It's like this gentleman's code. You just get in there, it's like, hey, the usual. You sit down, get it done.
Yeah, I'm all done
leave.
With that.
Yeah, you avoid trying to like do a crotch graze with your elbow.
It's a good point, sir, yeah.
And you give him money, you stand up and you leave. I don't know. I think it's different with women.
Well, I just go in there and I just say, don't do a mohawk. Surprise me, whatever you do.
Just no Mr. T.
Yeah, no Mr. T.
Anything else. A to Z, just no T.
Yeah.
But it's quite an interesting thing because people are either really loyal. Mm. I went through a stage where I was loyal back when I had lots of hair because I was trying something.
Okay.
My youth. Now, I just need someone to literally short back and size me, which in itself is kind of depressing. So there's this Turkish guy, like here in the neighborhood where the studio is. And it was going so well. It really was. I went there. I may have been one of his few first clients because he opened up new. It was a very nice, clean place. And he gave a great haircut.
Did you know his name?
Didn't speak much. Thing is, Sia, not because I'm rude or because I'm arrogant or whatever. I don't think it's necessary.
That's it. I don't know my barber's name.
No disrespect to the guy, but once you know names, then he's going to ask you how's work and, you know, are you married? Do you have kids? And then once you go down that, this twilight zone from there.
Yeah, you're going to feel like you're in an Uber and you don't want that.
Exactly. No. Exactly. So I've had this great, as you say, gentleman's agreement with this guy. Mm. Let's just call him Steve. And
I just called him Turkish, and most likely his name is Steve.
Well, okay, look, maybe that's not a nice thing to say, but I'm just putting a placeholder on him right now.
Okay,
Barber
Steve.
Barber.
Sure.
Let's go with Barber. That also sounds kind of derogatory in a Turkish sense. Anyway.
Ahmed from Turkey.
Okay, yeah, so Ahmed, this guy, right? Ahmed. So I get in there, and he says, what can I do for you today? And I say, just same as last time. I go once a month, right? Mm-hmm. I don't need to go anymore. And then it was all going so well, and then 1 minute after that, when he's like fumbling around with the shaver and stuff, he then offers me a coffee, which I always say yes to, despite the fact that it's the strongest Turkish coffee you've ever tasted. Ooh. It's so strong, it's actually sour. And it's thick as well. It's like, you've really got to fight it. Ooh. But you know, it's culture, and he's given it to me, and I'm taking this.
And also because you don't know what sort of person he is and what offends him, so you'll now just drink it up without saying anything.
Also, if I'm drinking coffee, I can't talk, so he's going to really resist that urge to ask me small questions. Which is all great, right?
Yeah.
Had a wonderful time. All went great. Very competitive rate. I know it's not expensive. I forget what it is. And then I leave, okay? But now, thankfully, his business is progressing, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. Now he's like flogging like Damon knockoff fragrances as well. So then the second last time I went, I sat down, and now I'm being kind of sold fragrances that I don't really want.
No.
And like, it all sounds great, and it's like it gave me a whole spiel about what these things are, because they're oil-based, they last longer. But there was too much conversation, right? But
it ruined what you guys had.
Go on through. Last time I went, right? Again, now there's an extra chair. I'm thinking, great, this is really cool. Small business working, this guy, great. He's now got an assistant hairdresser, barber guy, right?
Uh-huh.
Also Turkish dude.
Yeah.
Similar looking, let's go with family. And he sort of brushed me off onto him. So, again, you don't want to be that guy who goes, no, actually, it's cool, we got a thing going. Because we don't really have a thing going.
Yeah, but you're like, Ahmed, like, but Ahmed, come on.
But I got brushed off. And now his, let's just go with cousin, is clearly not quite as adept with the scissors and the shaver. So he's taking forever. But he's meticulous, right? He is treating my head like someone is washing a Bentley. You know, there is attention, there's love, and there's precision going on here. But it took about 45 minutes.
Yeah, and at for this stage, a guy, that's a nightmare.
At this stage, the coffee which I could normally wash the taste out of 5 minutes after is now lingering in my mouth. Oof. And it was just awkward, and it just kept going and going. So when women say sex is awkward when it goes for too long, I'm almost in that mindset by thinking, I just want this to stop now, but you know, I need to get to the end. You know, it's just awkward.
No, but I totally get it. For us, I don't know, I really do think it's a guy thing, though.
Well, I mean, I, for example, don't like getting head massages when I'm at the hair salon. I don't like being touched in that way.
A head massage has to be really good, or it's just no, don't even try.
I just don't like being touched.
Oh.
Unless there's a big reward at the end of it all.
I wonder what you mean by big reward.
I always decline the massages, and I always feel a little bit like a horrible person, because most people enjoy that part of, you know, their head being washed.
Mm. Yeah, sometimes it justifies the fact you're spending so much money. It's like, I want a head massage.
Yeah, whatever it is. I'm just very sensitive to the touch, and then when they move down to your neck, I can't.
But do you guys, hair salons do you guys go to? I've never got a hair massage.
You don't get head massages when they wash your hair?
Because no. All you do is you fight a mohawk. I'm not surprised by the fact you don't get a head massage.
Oh, my God.
You don't get massages, and then you don't get to drink wine.
No. Lucas, you got the short end of the stick.
That would be fantastic if I could drink wine.
Yeah, look, if you're going to be in the chair for 5 hours, they better offer you some wine.
Oh, no, but I can't stand that. Five hours. For 30 minutes, it's more than enough.
As well, though, it's my barber. And it's also the guy who washes my car. I go to the exact same person. I still don't really know his name. He knows what I really always like. And that's it. Like, I think there are certain things where it's just like no conversation necessary. We just get this over and done with and we leave. Or is that odd?
No, I just think that we are obviously creatures of habit. But at the same time, it's like we don't want to waste time in life. So if we go to someone who we don't know we're going to get, we might have to then, it could go badly.
Mm.
Like my experience, it took 45 minutes. I did not have enough hair for 45 minutes. It really messed the synergy of my day up. It really did. I was out of kilter after that. So I guess that's why we're consistent. It's not because we're boring. I just think we're trying to be efficient with our time.
Yeah.
And efficient with our emotions in Mubs' case. Don't touch me.
No. Don't do it.
Don't touch me.
Oh, Jeepus, we got so much ammo for Stoffel in the back of this.
No, now I'm like fired up and ready.
Right. So in Stoffel's chair is something new that's coming to Cliff Central. So we can chat to Stoffel. But I also want to bring up yesterday's interview. Now, if you didn't listen to the podcast or listen live yesterday,
that's the German version of the podcast. The podcast.
Vusi Tembakwaya was one of the most interesting people I've had sitting next to me in the studio.
He's amazing.
It's, you know, like you guys hyped him up before he got into the studio, right?
Mm.
I mean, and sometimes this happens with guests, and it's just not my field of interest, so I don't really carry on with the hype. But this guy wasn't even a field of interest. He was just fantastically intelligent. He had great things to say, and I often sometimes get the impression when someone does come with a lot of hype, they almost play up to it. This dude was just like, everything he said was interesting, and it wasn't self-serving or anything like that. He just had great experiences, and he had great insights. It's one of the best interviews that I've heard here. And Gareth does interview some fantastic people. So if you didn't listen to that interview yesterday, go onto clipcentral.com, and that is where you'll find a whole bunch of interviews. Go into Gareth's guests. Why is that difficult for me to say? Gareth's guests.
Gareth's guests.
Gareth's guests. Go into that, and you'll find it, and a whole bunch of other interviews. And you've got it. I think in this country, we are so quick to jump on all these different narratives. We're so quick to jump on all the stuff that we get fed in the press. And there's all these easy positions that we can jump to as general public, whether it be politics, whether it be finance, whether it be race, whether it be religion, whether it be sport, whatever it is. But every now and again, you get a guy like Vusi who can then just cut through the shit. Not because he's trying to, like again, with an ulterior motive, just the guy's done it all. And he's done it all because he wanted to be better, not because he was trying to get chicks or trying to get a flash car, maybe byproducts of his life.
Hey, yeah.
But this is the whole thing, is that this is a guy trying to make a difference, and he spells it out so brilliantly, how it's not about being elite, it's not about being a chosen few, it's about just being better. And this dude, wow, I was blown away.
Such an awesome guy. I feel like I should take some sort of credit here now.
Go ahead, Sia. No, do it.
I was about to say, like, is they not going to give me credit? Because, listen, I've admired the guy for years. So now everyone is on the same page.
Well then, Sia.
Thank you. And I have great role models after Michael Jackson. No, really. I went through an MJ phase. So
yeah.
This is a positive one.
So your show will be just like usual today. So we're not going to check in with Gareth because, I mean, the guy literally is going to be man down. Lucas, he's pretty much in bed.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. Okay. Holding his head, I'm sure.
So you can send him tweets of support. Or you can also just be part of the show like usual. WhatsApp group 079-748-2090. WhatsApp is whatever your thoughts are. Or if you're suffering from a migraine and also want some sympathy, we can do it all right here. Right, so we've got some messages here. Mubs, I agree with you. I never do the head massage either. I always feel weird. I also feel weird declining. This is from Michelle. Declining as in when you decline into the basin?
Yes.
No, like declining the head massage.
Yes.
Sorry. Because I'm thinking natural movement of declining. You know when you get your hair washed, you got to decline backwards?
Yeah. No,
it's like a semi-trust fall.
Ben, isn't that reclining?
Yes. Sorry. Forget everything I just said the last 10 seconds. Lucas, can we cut that out of the podcast?
Lucas, can we cut that specifically out of the podcast for us to use repeatedly? Cut that out.
I'll send that to Gareth.
You are on fire
today.
I
do not want to sound stupid. I was doing well for 21 minutes. It's a long time.
True.
Sorry, Babs, did you have something to say about declining?
Well, it's weird because they don't really ask you whether or not you want the massage. They just kind of start doing it. So the weird part comes in stopping them when they start.
Oh, no.
But I stop them regardless.
Because you can't sort of just move your head. Because that's awkward. But you can't exactly say, sorry, that's cool. I had one earlier. I'm all good for the head massages today.
Yeah. You know? Sometimes I have a headache that's really, really bad. And I'm just like, I really don't want to... You know, it's just very...
Maybe the massage could make your headache better.
No, no, it's just going to make it worse, is what I say.
Max, why don't you tell them as you sit down in her salon and say, I don't want...
Yeah, you know, I don't want to come across as that annoying customer.
No, it's fine.
You know, who just starts barking orders from the onset.
The customer is always right.
Yeah, you see, that's exactly our problem.
Or is entitled to decline or recline. Hey, morning, Jared. Morning to you. Wanted to know what your thoughts are. Are these motherfuckers that blew up some people at Ariana Grande concert? Jared, strategically, I try not to talk about that in the first half hour. We'll get to the news. Obviously, it's massively sad and makes us all very, very, very angry. I was trying to just start the day on a slightly more positive note, but yeah, we'll get to that. Wow, that message has a lot of words in it. Anyway.
Well, that's what I miss.
No, but he's talking about a guy called Jared, and then it's Love, Mike. Sorry. Anyway, Sifrit says, Ben, if you have a proper political rant, then you will prove that the show can be legit without Gareth.
Oh man.
No, I mean,
Sifrit, thanks. I mean, I just cocked up decline and recline. I think I should, you know, maybe stay in my lane with a couple of things this morning. So,
also, how many political rants can one take? I mean, we have quite a few of those happening on this show.
I think we've actually had all the political rants.
Yeah, let's take a breather.
And anything new will just be a rehashing of names. Unless some of us get requests for nudes. That's a different political rant.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah. Not in a... Okay.
Why, see, has it happened again?
I was about to say, not in a way that I wanted. Just pointing it out. We're still dealing with that.
Alrighty. So what we're going to do now is that we're going to play you a song.
Yay!
Yeah. And the different thing about this song is that it's from U2. And I'm the first person that's played U2 for maybe 10 years. I'll take it upon myself to have that. But yes, this still can be a beautiful day. The heart is a blue. How about that is, yeah?
I actually like this.
Yeah. The news, the sport, the finance after this. All right. See, that was back when I think you two are still making music. I don't know what they do now. Anyway, it is time for the news. And of course, the news today is brought to you like every day by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Now, we spoke about the Monday 2-for-1 deal yesterday. I took advantage of that. I couldn't because I'm only one at the moment at home. My girlfriend is away. So it would have been 2-for just me. I would have been the one, not the price of one. So. And then it would have been awkward. And then I would have sat there and felt extra lonely. But every Monday, don't forget, Colcacchio Pizzeria, 2-for-1 deal. Bring that on. Mubs, we need to get to the news. And I think it's going to have a slightly depressing start.
Well, yes. It is the number 2 trending topic on Twitter. Manchester with over 5.5 million tweets.
There's something bigger than this right now?
Let me just go back here and see what the situation is. Well,
Jeff just put his phone down so that someone else could tweet trend at number one.
Trending on my number one is Vuzu Hustle. That would be the reality TV show with AKA and them on it.
Gareth's
but,
BFF.
Well, yes. Gareth's new BFF.
Anyway, sorry, I mean to distract you. Carry on.
No, that's fine. So it has been breaking news since late last night. At least 19 people have been killed and 59 injured after a suspected terrorist attack at the Manchester Arena. That is the arena where, yes, indeed, our American singer Ariana Grande was performing. Bomb explosions were heard going off right after she wrapped up her show. Multiple witnesses reported hearing 2 huge bangs at the venue at around 10:30 p.m. last night. The area around the arena was swarmed with police and emergency services. Approach roads were cordoned off. And minutes later, eyewitnesses described seeing people running and screaming from the arena. Some of them were covered in blood. The incident is now being treated as a terrorist attack. And then, you know, if we just look at the minute-by-minute updates, the scene at Manchester at the moment is very quiet. There is virtually no one on the streets. Police are continuing with the investigation. According to TMZ, they've reported that Ariana has now suspended her world tour indefinitely. She was due to perform in London this week still before heading off to Europe. So none of that is going to be happening. But then again, I don't think people in the UK will be too fussed about the cancellation of this concert.
So unfortunate.
At this stage, you know, It's all about condolences pouring in. I see on Twitter a couple of people posting pictures of kids who were in attendance at this conference, at this concert, that are now missing. So you can just imagine the panic that certain people are experiencing at the moment.
Yeah, because a lot of these concerts, these kids generally do get dropped off by their parents, and then they will be in there by themselves, and then they'll rendezvous later at a meet point. But, you know, with chaos ensuing from here, I think it's the Holiday Inn are basically saying, if you were an unattended child or, you know, young person, you can come there and then hopefully be reunited with your parents. But, I mean, there's just some heartbreaking tweets going around with pictures of, have you seen my son?
Or, yeah.
Wow, what a thing to wake up to.
It's terrible and it's tragic. Yes, they are investigating it as a terrorist attack, but, you know, at this point, as far as I understand, they're not naming anyone. And as far as I can tell, because, you know, as I said, this is a breaking news story, so more information will become available as time goes by. No one as yet has claimed responsibility of the attack. If you know differently, you are, of course, too, you know, welcome to let us know. But yeah, as you can imagine, you know, British authorities will be on high alert today. You can imagine their public transport system is going to have heavy, you know, security personnel. Yep. I don't know if, you know, if you look at their railway set up, if any trains now are not going to be running, the buses. I mean, this really just forces a country to come to a complete standstill when something like this happens. But yeah, those numbers that they stand currently, 19 people dead, 59 confirmed injured. Sadly, that number of deceased likely to rise with, you know, people at the moment not being able to account for their loved ones. So yeah.
I don't even know what to say about these things anymore.
It's annoying.
A part of me feels like, you know what, tomorrow we're probably not going to talk about this. You're so desensitized to this now. Mm. And I was thinking, if this took place like 20 years ago, people would probably be still remembering the day as they would give it some sort of name, you know, because 19 people, let's just say potentially more, have died. But because it happens now, where this has become such commonplace, this will just be maybe another long list somewhere along the line.
Unfortunately, yes. I don't even think it will be, you know, it will require waiting until tomorrow, Ben. I think by lunchtime, we will have found something new to distract us or to be talking about. And unfortunately, that's just the way it goes.
I don't know. Like, whoever this is, really, in situations like these, and I get the premise of terrorism is to go for the people and not the people in power, to actually persuade the people in power to make decisions. But honestly, what sort of heart or lack thereof do you have when you now target these innocent people? When you see these videos, now we live in an age of social media, there are videos, there are pictures of these kids who are just running aimlessly, crying, scared, losing it. Like, what sort of person are you?
Well, that's the thing about this dark force. You can call it what you want. You know, you don't want to get into semantics, but there is no end game with these people. It is just terror. It is just, they're just dicks. They're just complete and utter dicks. And see, unfortunately, they have no minds like we do. Like, yeah. we have cause and effect and accountability and basic understanding of human wellness. They're just dicks. They're just massive dicks. And it's such a tiring thing to have to actually address. But, you know, this is the reality.
Yeah. And then just to bring it back home for a second, it was quite an interesting day in a Q&A session in Parliament yesterday where a whole series of questions were posed to the president, but virtually none of them were answered. President Jacob Zuma has refused to answer a question on whether he paid fringe benefit tax on his non-security related upgrades to Nkandla, and whether the so-called intelligence report had anything to do with Pravin Gordhan's removal as finance minister. So, in response to the DA leader, Musi Maimane, who had asked a question about whether or not the president had paid tax, firstly, Maimane asked if he had paid fringe benefit tax on Nkandla, and then if not, why not? Then Musi wanted to know, but Mr. President, if you did indeed pay, how much? And the president had this to say. The issue of tax is a confidential matter between the South African Revenue Services and the taxpayer. after the ruling by the Constitutional Court that the president pay back 7.8 million rand for, you know, the security features like the fire pool, the chicken run, the crawl, the amphitheater, all security features, by the way. So the DA seemingly wanting answers to how much tax the president paid, which he just simply refused to answer. Then on the issue of this intelligence report, it was the DA's MP, David Maynard, who asked whether the intelligence report had played any role in informing the president's decision to reshuffle his cabinet at the end of March this year, to which the president replied, "The status of the so-called intelligence report is a subject of litigation in court proceedings in which the DA is a party. I, therefore, cannot comment on the matter." So that was the second question that he refused to answer. He also said that he could not answer questions on why the South African National Defence Force had been deployed to Parliament back in February for the State of the Nation address, you know, when they so aptly removed some members like the chanting EFF at the time. Again, the president just didn't have a good enough response to that. So essentially, you can ask the president whatever you like, but don't expect a satisfactory response. Just don't.
And Madam Speaker, right, she's obviously just part of the club. She can't press him for an answer. I mean, how does it work? Because I know, like in game shows, you need to answer, otherwise you get a question wrong. You don't go through the next round.
Mm.
The same should happen here, right?
The same
should.
There should
be like a clock in Parliament. Mr. President, you've got 5 seconds. I'll push you for an answer.
The same should happen in Parliament. And we've often seen members from the opposition, you know, like the DA and the EFF members, pleading with the national speaker to intervene at times. But I guess it's her prerogative when and where she decides to intervene. We know that she's often had no problem having people removed from the House.
Yeah, she doesn't.
But when, you know, when asked to push the president for a response or, you know, for certain things to happen, I guess it's her prerogative to do whatever she sees fit. And then the last matter where the president basically was not able to give a good enough response was in relation to the life estimeni patients. You remember the story of those patients, over 100 people who lost their lives because of the 27 unlicensed NGOs that had been commissioned to basically transport them from one facility to the other.
Mm.
Basically, they just wanted to get an update on how that investigation is going. And again, the president not giving sufficient enough responses to that question.
Well, you know, we keep saying he doesn't care. He literally does not care.
Yeah.
It's just like those ISIS people do not care for life. Jacob Zuma does not care about what's going on in this country unless it's in his balance sheet as far as income. So this investigation, he's like, what was that again? Sounds familiar. Yeah, someone else will answer this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think he was fussed about it. It was just another statistic.
No, I mean, over 100 people lost their lives, but to this day, nobody has been held accountable. Nobody will be facing any kind of charge. Maybe one or two people lost their positions or their jobs, but that's as far as that matter goes. But the investigation is still ongoing, and it's being conducted by the Health Ombud. So we'll wait to see what happens from that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm
good
sorry.
Good thing we played that U2 song, huh?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
You know what?
Now.
I'm sorry if you were looking for something to make you feel good. Maybe I'll have some of that for you after 7 o'clock. But you know, this is the reality of the world that we live in.
Yeah, getting some more messages through. It appears that ISIS are claiming responsibility for this through their social media, which I still don't understand how these dickheads have social media.
Ugh.
There's another talking point to make things slightly lighter. Just to go back to some of the hairdressing comments. Again, I don't know who this is from. It says, "I cut my hair at a Pakistani barber. He's good, but he talks so close to my face when I'm at the recliner. I fear he might someday kiss me."
That's what I mean by someone's breath on your neck.
You called it, Sia.
Need to draw the line.
You called it. Maybe should we go to some sport?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's do some sports. Also, not like the most upbeat stuff there either. Hey, I'm just going to warn you, it's not the happiest sport. But I'll try and make it interesting. How about that? All right, all theme music back. So it's a big day for SA Rugby because the Springbok squad gets announced. So what that means is Twitter is going to become an absolute shit show around about 1 o'clock South African time today. I will warn you, it is going to be like that because Alistair Kutsia, who nobody seems to like or rate, well, he did have a 33% win record last year, so hopes aren't high of him doing much better this season. He is going to name a squad of players, right, that are going to take on the French. Now, the French aren't very good at rugby, but neither is South Africa, really. If you look at the world rankings, well, we can't exactly boast or, you know, shout out about anything, really.
Where are we in the rankings?
Mubs, I don't even want to say it because it's just too embarrassing. Put it this way, we're not in the top five. Is that good enough? I hope it is. So 1 o'clock today. Now, Alistair Kutsia is obviously in a tough spot. I mean, if you go through from 1 to 15, okay, try this with your friends this morning before you actually hear the announcement, or if you're listening to this podcast, 1 p.m. SA time, May 23rd. Try amongst your friends, decisively put down 1 to 15 that should run out against the French. This will create such an argument that you might not have friends afterwards because there are so few names that you really gravitate towards. All the sort of stalwarts of the team, maybe not in good form or fallen away or just overseas. Who's going to be the captain? Who's going to be the fly half? The fact that maybe SP Marais could get into the fullback reckoning is another concern. Look, I'm a Stormers fan. I love the guy with the ball going forward, but that's about it. Who's the scrum half going to be? Centre pairings, our guys haven't played much. Tight five. I don't want to be doom and gloom. There's enough of that this morning. 1 p.m. today, Springbok squad announcement. Let's pick this up again tomorrow because I hate speculating and being too downhearted. One thing I can confirm for you, though, is where the Bok matches will be played this year. So if you have any... again, this is speculation. Don't take my word for it just yet. But if you want any indication who's being chopped from Super Rugby next year, well, it's going to be... Probably the Kings and the Cheetahs. Why? Because, well, in Bloem and PE, there's going to be rugby championship matches. They're taking them there. Kind of like one of those, so guys, it's over, but you also get one of these cool Springbok matches. So, you know, it's like alimony. It's like a divorce settlement of some sort. So to run you through the fixtures for rugby championship, the Boks will take on Argentina August 19th at the Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium. That is the PE game. August 26th will be Argentina versus the Springboks in Estadio Padre Ernesto Martorena in Salta.
Well, thank goodness it's got an easy name.
Exactly, yeah. September the 9th, we'll see the Boks taking on Australia, and that'll be in Perth, so a nice home match there. And then September the 16th, New Zealand versus the Springboks in Albany. That is going to be a hammering of note. September the 30th, the Boks then come back and they'll play against Australia in Bloemfontein. It's one of those golden handshakes I told you about. And then October the 7th, the Boks will take on New Zealand in Cape Town. Now, this is where things get a bit stormy. Not because there's no water for the showers afterwards, but because they're still trying to decide where in Cape Town it's going to be. Is it going to be at Newlands or is it going to be at Cape Town Stadium? Many people want the Springboks to go play in Cape Town Stadium, but obviously the spiritual home for rugby in the Cape is Newlands. It is, I think, it's the oldest existing ground in the whole world. It used to be Lansdowne Road in Ireland, but then Lansdowne Road, well, it was old and kind of dilapidated, and then they'd moved to the Aviva Dome or something. It's a big stadium. So technically speaking, there's like, you can't get history like this. But the thing is, Newlands isn't exactly the safest place in the world. So when Uncle Sepp and his mates came out here and ran the country pretty well in 2010, they had these stadiums where you could evacuate within a certain time. So if there was an incident, a fire, a bomb, whatever it is, 50,000 people could be evacuated in a certain time period. Now, these old stadiums that were made do not have that, right? If you want to get out of Newlands in a hurry, well, it's not going to happen. So there's a whole bunch of umming and ahhing around, is it actually technically safe to host international events? Because these restrictions are becoming a lot more strict as far as how we conduct massive crowds, as you know, look at Manchester right now, because these things happen in our lives, unfortunately. So it's undetermined just yet. So I'll give you more info about that. But yeah, so looking into the France game so that you know all the fixtures going forward. June 10th. So that's the first one. That'll be at Loftus. So Loftus will have some rugby fans back. SA versus France, 5 o'clock. And then June 17th, SA versus France in Durban. And then 24th will be the third and final test, SA versus France at Joburg. So that's that. See, I remember back in the Rio Olympics, there was all kinds of different things that were happening in Rio. Okay, a lot of bad things, but a lot of good things too.
Yeah, I was thinking like the water situation.
Yeah, there was.
I don't know where you're going with this.
But one of the things was that they made the medals and other things in a very green way. So it was good to the environment, and it was, like not much carbon footprint went into making certain elements of those games.
Oh.
Well, that's all good and well, but apparently some of the medals are actually falling apart. So if you won an Olympic medal, your pride and joy, the highlight of your life, the medals are now turning in color, they're tarnishing, and they're actually even breaking down.
Oh, no.
Apparently, if you've got a silver medal, there's a good chance of this happening. So the IOC and the Rio organizers are working really hard to try and restore these medals. This is just the most embarrassing thing. Not only have most of their stadia fallen into disrepair, but their actual medals are falling into disrepair as well. It doesn't get much worse than that. John Terry's 26-minute substitution is still coming under scrutiny. A whole bunch of people actually bet on the fact he'll be subbed on 26 minutes. Now, Didier Drogba, who was another Chelsea legend, in his final match, he was also substituted halfway through the first half and carried off the field because he's such a legend. So John Terry actually, he wanted to be carried off the field in 26 minutes to correspond with his shirt number of 26. But a bunch of people actually bet on this happening. So the FA are looking into potential match fixing. Now, although the game was a non-result because Sunderland were already relegated and Chelsea already won the league, you can't fix a match. That's just the whole nature of this, right? So you bring the game into disrepute, it is going to be looked into. But people are mostly saying that, look, it was a pretty innocent kind of thing. Obviously, it was John Terry, so it was very knobbish, but it was mostly innocent. But some guys were getting 100-1 odds on this bet taking place. So they're putting down a sneaky £20 and 100-1 odds. Well, that's pretty good. That's a good night down at pub. In other football news, Carlo Ancelotti has sung again. This is what this guy does. He breaks into song all the time. Who is Carlo Ancelotti? You ask, well, he's the current manager of Bayern Munich, but this guy has won major trophies with lots and lots of teams. And this isn't the first time that he's broken into song. It does sound like a call to mass, but, he's got a decent voice.
It's my kind of person.
Some balls, hey, but I tell you what, Carlo, he's obviously managed Chelsea, he's managed Real Madrid, AC Milan, so in front of a much bigger crowd, here's Carlo giving it stick for his fans at Madrid. Pulling a bit of a Bieber here, doesn't know the words. It gets better though. So for AC Milan, this is quite a thing because he knows all these different languages: German, Spanish, French. The guy, he's all over it. This is him in Italian. Go, Carlo.
What's next for Carlo? Is he going to go the Manny Pacquiao route? You see, everybody now thinks that they can sing.
It's so true. I think Carlo's true talents are being muffled out here in this greater scheme of things. If he gets into a studio, he could make magic.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're getting at, hey, Mubs?
Yeah.
So the Indy 500, Anthea will be joining us in a second. Lucas, we got Anthea on the Skype today, huh? Okay, very good. Got thumbs up from Lucas. The Indy 500, it is that big race where they go round and round in circles. Well, last weekend they went round and round in circles to see who can finish in the pole. And a New Zealand guy did it. Mubs, he's going to be the first guy on there. But then he went to Taco Bell afterwards and he got held up by gunpoint.
Oh, okay. What?
How crazy is that, huh?
Yeah, well.
He was... He literally was just going to get food for his teammates and then go back. He just got pole, massive moment in his career, at Taco Bell, gun to the head, give me your cell phone, give me your wallet. Mm. A 15-year-old and 14-year-old respective youths got into that, and they stole his stuff, and they were arrested short afterwards. But he says he's totally cool. He's fine. His wife's okay. And even his team were actually making fun about it. So his team manager said, well, he tweeted, there goes that Taco Bell sponsorship we're working on for so long. So Indy 500, if you did were confused like me and you heard so much about it last weekend, it's because it was only qualifying. The actual thing will take place this weekend. I did have some more sport for you, but then I have to wait for tomorrow. We got Anthea on the line. Damn it, I always forget to get Anthea's theme tune. It's so embarrassing because that's pretty much the only reason she works with us. Because she likes hearing that song. It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I heard it via the grapevine. That's the only reason.
Yes, no other reason, that's just it. Because we got a good theme song for her.
Yeah, so yesterday's finance is very interesting. There's some, you know, obviously junk status and how things are working. We're starting to see some actual things taking place, which are really sad. But anyway, here is Anthea. Morning, Anthea. How are you today?
Good morning, Ben. I'm well, thanks. And I don't think that's fair. I'm not sure it's completely true that I only work with you guys because of the theme song.
Well, you know what, Anthea? It was a decent guess.
It's also Lucas's tea when I come in on Mondays.
Oh, okay.
What's so special about Lucas's tea?
Well, no one else makes me tea.
Ooh,
well,
shade.
I'm sorry, Anthea. We're all working here. I just drop everything for you.
Right. Oh, and Lucas isn't.
Well, that's one of his jobs.
The shade continues.
My goodness.
Shall we talk markets then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Safer.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Rand was again inexplicably strong yesterday, 13.18 to the dollar during the day, pretty much in line with other emerging market currencies. But then again, it's slightly weaker this morning at 13.25. And as you can imagine, the stronger Rand took the shine off our market a bit. We managed to scrape together a gain of about 0.1%, which is really nothing. Volumes were low, $1.2 billion traded. Apparently, there was an erroneous 791 million Rand off-market famous brands trade yesterday. And I don't know the details, but I assume it would have been reversed last night. So that would have taken volumes even lower. You can imagine these things happen, right? We have 20 billion Rand a day trade. Somebody's going to make a mistake.
Yeah, so basically the word erroneous is not something you want happening on the stock exchange.
No. not in this game, no.
Hey, honey, I'm home. Today was quite an erroneous day.
I made a 791 million Rand mistake. And it probably took him all of 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Resources were a bit disappointing, closing down 0.5%. And that's even after the iron ore price jumped 9% in China during our morning trading session. So a little bit disappointing there. Industrials managed a nice little bounce. Of course, our current favorite stock, not disappointing at all, Naspers, is now 4 Rand away from being a 2,800 Rand share. It did trade above that level during the day, but then closed at 2,796. I guess some profit taking in the afternoon.
Anthea, it's quite a tough question this, but did you ever imagine, like, say, a year ago that would get to this level, or is this very much in keeping with progress?
No, I think a year ago I was looking for 2,500 Rand. Now, of course, I'm looking for 3,000. You just keep pushing it higher, don't we?
Yeah.
So, no, I didn't think it. Well, it's what? It's about 8% higher than where I thought it would be, so it's not hugely different.
Still, though, but like 8% on that big of a base of money is pretty solid.
Exactly, it's nice to have. Yeah, no, in fact, we've done great this month. The hashtag invest portfolio is doing particularly well. You know, we've had Naspers, we've had Steinhoff, we've had MediClinic, all really outperforming the index. So, and we've stayed away from banks, which has been nice. Although yesterday, the banks had a little bit of a bounce, not much, like about 1%, I would say, on average. But I'm still a little bit nervous that we've got this impending Moody's decision coming. So I'm just going to be conservative for the moment.
Is there a date for that, or is it just wait and see?
Yes. Apparently, it's supposed to be before the 2nd of July, June. I think it's 2nd of June or 2nd of July. Now I've confused myself. It should be soon. That's the answer.
Alrighty.
And then some interesting news. Kevin Hedewick, who I thought had retired from famous brands because of ill health, is joining the great Brian Joffe as the COO, Chief Operating Officer of Long for Life. So Long for Life listed, what is it now, about a month and a half ago, listed at R5 a share. It's been quite volatile. They've not released any final details on the Sorbet transaction yet. And the shares traded as high as R6.73 after IPO and came back to R5.45, and it's now around R5.80. So I think the problem with this is that everyone's betting on people and their reputations, namely Brian Joffe, and of course in this case probably Kevin Hedewick as well. And they haven't actually done any real transactions. So it's an interesting one because no one it's in my opinion, very much sentiment driven because we haven't seen any numbers from Sorbet yet. So we wait and see.
I'm guessing they're going to be good numbers.
Yeah, I think Brian Joffe knows how to negotiate.
And he's never going to go away. That's the kind of guy that doesn't retire. Like, he'll retire, but then he'll still have like things on the go.
Well, yes, exactly. Both of them, both Kevin and Brian Joffe, retired last year. And now they're running a R2 billion company.
I reckon with these guys, Anthea, I'm sure you'd be able to know this. You don't have to agree with me, but it's almost like it's fashionable to be these guys and retire and then come back with like this new big thing. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what they talk about when they're on yachts and when they're in business class lounges. They go, well, you know, I'm just dabbling in this little, you know, billion-dollar trust fund, hedge fund thing.
I think you have hit the nail spot on. Like, it is exactly that. They go away and they go, all right, it's time to hand the reins over to younger people in my business. And then they go away and they sit down for a couple of months and they go, what can I dream of now? And then they come back and do this.
Can you imagine how embarrassing it's being this conversation and all you've done is actually retire? I reckon you get laughed out.
Yeah, okay. That is quite funny.
It's that good.
And then in company news, Pioneer Foods released a pretty tough set of interim results. Earnings per share down 48%. Clearly the higher maize price having the biggest impact there. And we're expecting CPI, so consumer price inflation, tomorrow. And although we should see the index fall below 6%, I think this Pioneer Foods is an indication that price inflation will actually remain disappointingly high for consumers. So a little bit of worry there. And then mostly global markets followed the US higher yesterday. European equity markets struggled a bit, but then that's because the euro hit a 6.5-month high. And this was after Angela Merkel commented to students in Berlin that a 2-week euro was behind Germany's big trade surplus. So obviously her comments pushing the euro higher. There's a decent amount of macro drivers out this week. Trump is still on his roadshow, which is making everyone a little bit nervous, just in case he says something undiplomatic. In Brazil, we've still got calls for Michel Temer's impeachment. OPEC are meeting on Thursday. There's an expectation that they will finalize and extend the production cuts they decided on over the weekend. So I think kind of all in all, I'm not surprised that the markets are trading a little bit tentative, like volumes a bit low. Asia's pretty much mixed this morning. There's no real direction. I mean, we've got a couple of big companies reporting this week. But other than that, I think global markets just anxious, sitting on their hands.
Okay. So another person in Brazil is being impeached. This didn't take long.
Yes, it's less than a year since the previous president, Dilma Rousseff, was impeached. So, yes, right. they do get on. They do move very quickly in Brazil.
All right, Anthea, is that all for this Tuesday?
Yes, that's it. Thanks very much, Ben.
Very nice. Well, hopefully Gareth will be over his migraine and be back tomorrow to joust with you on all things finance.
Super. Cheers. All right. Have a good day.
Okay, that's the first hour up. Gareth, of course, is at home in bed. Unfortunately, he is feeling rather ill today. He's got the migraine. So messages of support. Pray for Gareth. Just with Gareth.
There's a lot of dramatization there that is totally unnecessary.
Hey, migraines are no jokes here.
Okay, so you want to hashtag pray for Gareth? Do you want them to drop off flowers at his house?
No, don't do that. You will be shot.
You can drop off flowers here.
No, we'd appreciate chocolates.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, when you say flowers, somebody Gareth. Will bring chocolates. So, yeah. Message here, Gareth, if AKA comes in for an interview, please tell him his auto-tuned voice in his songs are fucking annoying. Sincerely, everyone. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, he's just following a big trend in music.
Yeah.
Everybody's auto-tuned.
And it's not appreciated, Mumps. There we go.
I'm just saying, everyone is auto-tuned.
Anyway, we've got lots of great stories. We've got Stoffel. Oh, this interview is going to be so cool. We spoke about the hairdressing situations we have in our lives. And In the Chair with Stoffel, that is a show that will be... Sorry, In Stoffel's Chair is a show that will be on Cliff Central very shortly. And the man himself will be in our chairs a little bit later.
In Stoffel's Chair.
Did I mess that up? No, in Stoffel's Chair.
No. I like how it sounds. In Stoffel's Chair.
I reckon stuff goes down in Stoffel's Chair. But that's something you can look forward to in about an hour's time. News with Mubs. Lots and lots of news to get through. So stay with us. This is Good Luck with Find Me in the Forest. You can find us on WhatsApp, 079-748-2090.
CliffCentral.com.